Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
You know, Sue, we've been talking about the weather, single digits around here. We just heard Dave's forecast. Going to get very, very cold again. We have a little bit of warming over the next few days. But the big story is probably the ice and the snow in the south. My son is in Houston. He had snow and ice, basically had a snow day. He works at a restaurant. They closed the restaurant. The city is paralyzed. Your brother's down there.
Yep.
You know that. Our friend, radio legend, Brad Hildebrand, was texting me this afternoon. You know Brad. He's a super fan of the Mark Reardon Show.
I worked for Brad.
Yeah. You worked for him.
Of course.
Well, and so I listened to him when I was just a young kid, and I looked up to him in the 1980s because he was a cool disc jockey. But now he's a talk radio fan, and he's a legend in his own mind, in my mind as well. No, but he sent a picture. I'm teasing because he listens. But his son lives in Pensacola, and he sent this picture from his son's backyard. That's 4 inches. They put a ruler in there. And he also sent a little historical information. I guess the all-time greatest snowfall in Florida is 4 inches in Milton, outside of Pensacola, on March 6, 1954. They say there are several unconfirmed reports of higher amounts that occurred during the 1800s and 1900s. Of course, that was when the SUVs started roaming the planet back then in the 1800s. Cadillac Escalades,
well, yeah.
Climate change, all that. But his son says it's still snowing, and it's not expected to stop until 9 p.m. So
that is crazy.
It is. Let's go to another part of the country. I don't think there's any snow out in the San Francisco area. Our friend Dwayne Patterson, the host of the Dwayne's World podcast, he contributes as hotair.com. Any snow out in San Francisco? Testing.
I'm not in San Francisco. I'm in Southern California. I'm down by Disneyland. It's 74 degrees here. I'm looking at Sue rocking this parka. Did she come to work on a snowmobile?
Yes. But wait a second. I thought you were up in the northern part of California.
No. I'm a SoCal person. We don't like those no-cal people. All we care about is they just keep sending the water.
Okay, well, that's my fault, because when we were looking for folks to contribute, you know, during all the fires and everything, I told Fred this is bad information. It's fake news, Dwayne. I thought you were up further north. That's my bad.
No. The fires in L.A. County were about 40 miles to my northwest and northeast. I know a ton of people that were involved in that. And there are three new fires in San Diego County. That's about 40, 50, 60 miles south of me. So I'm right in between them.
Wow. So yeah, the winds are picking up again. They got red flag warnings and all that kicking in again this week, don't they?
Yes. The wind actually stopped. It was for about 36 hours, and it's kind of died down. But what didn't die down is the amount of firebugs that are all over the stupid state.
Meaning what? People trying to scam?
People that like to light fires.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's more. Like, they're catching more arsonists, right?
Yes, they are. Yeah. There's a lot of homeless people that are allegedly starting these. You know, you got a lot of people that are strung out on whatever they're strung out on and out in the streets. And when the wind blows, they like to light fires and look up and say, hey, look at all the fireflies. We got a problem out here.
It's awful. And, you know, I was so glued to this for, you know, maybe a whole week when all this started a couple of weeks ago, but I have really handed it to the fire crews, because after the disasters of Altadena and the Palisades, I mean, they really worked hard at protecting these properties, and I can't believe there haven't been more outbreaks of bigger fires based on the conditions, Dwayne.
The people on the line are among the best in the world. Where I'm at in Orange County, we have rolling foothills all over the place that have a lot of dry brush on them, and the fire team here has remote cameras embedded into the hills that are constantly doing 180 sweeps, and I mean we've had some fires here, and we've had water on those fires within like 4 minutes. I mean, we are as rapid reaction force as I've ever seen in this part of the country.
Well, that's good news. All right, let's talk some politics here. Let's start with Nazism, right?
And I did want to ask you about the inauguration yesterday. Elon Musk, I'm sure you saw this, the head of the new Department of Government Efficiency, he spoke yesterday. And during his speech, he used a hand gesture that looked like a Nazi salute.
Yeah, of course, that's Jim Acosta on CNN. Dwayne, since that moment, we've got, I don't know how many images of Kamala Harris, Barack Obama, Chuck Schumer, you name it. They're all doing the same kind of salute. If you capture them at the same time or the right time with your picture, you're going to see that they all do something similar to what Elon did. And he's such a Nazi. He's hardly helped any of these Jewish hostages, has he?
Well, you see, that's the thing. And everybody that engages in this nonsense, we're not doing this anymore. We actually have an ability to communicate outside of CNN and outside of the networks and outside of what I used to call regime media, which is now has been transformed into resistance media. We're just not going to do this anymore. And anybody that you read online, anybody that goes down this road, I don't care if it's a senator like Chris Murphy.
Chris Murphy, I heard him. I played some of his nonsense earlier. Yeah.
Anybody that pulls this nonsense, that is somebody to never get your news or do anything but mock and ridicule again, because they are not serious individuals.
I completely agree, but it didn't take long for everyone to gang up and focus on this. And this is the roadmap that they use for the hoaxes. It happens time and time again. They know that it takes off online. And I said this earlier. I read a column today, earlier this afternoon, from someone in the Hollywood on the Hollywood Reporter. I still follow the trade publications because I used to do a lot of movie stuff. And the guy in the column basically admitted it wasn't a Nazi salute. And he also said it didn't matter because it looked like a Nazi salute. And that's the only thing that matters. That's where they are right now.
Well, and that's what Norm O'Donnell on CBS News said. Critics said it looked like one. Not that it was. It just looked like one. And that's enough to just create some kind of firestorm. And nobody's buying it anymore.
Well, that's the good thing. And I think a lot of the country have moved on at this point. And I don't know what we're going to get, but let's talk about what the administration is doing. We got a guy here in St. Louis that ran for attorney general, even though he lost. We like him quite a bit. Will Sharfee's been a contributor. He's one of President Trump's lawyers. And he was the guy yesterday that was reading all those directives off when they were signing the executive orders, which was pretty awesome. They're off and running, aren't they, Dwayne?
Oh, absolutely. I adore Will Sharf. He's a tremendous guy. We've known him for on and off for a long time. And everything that he was signing, I mean, I think I put up on X sometime yesterday afternoon, please, dear Lord, bless and strengthen the right arm of Donald Trump or his right hand, because it's going to get worked awfully hard today.
No kidding. Now, yeah, they're not wasting any time. And I think that I have Billboard Chris coming up. You know Chris Elston also? Dwayne?
Yeah.
He's awesome. He's coming up. He's in Davos right now. So he's going to join us and talk about, you know, some of the successes that he's had. I've been very impressed with Chris, because one of the questions I first asked him when he started coming on the show a few years ago is really noticing him on Twitter. I think a lot of people did. He would follow a bunch of different activists. He'd go on street corners, have conversations in a friendly way. Sometimes he'd be attacked, sometimes he wouldn't. But he really is one of the success stories in all of this. We were a little bit of ground zero here, Dwayne, in St. Louis with Jamie Reed, the whistleblower from WashU. But you put Jamie Reed, Chris Elston, Riley Gaines, and a few others up there. They've been heroic in really moving the needle on this gender nonsense.
Absolutely. We even saw it a little bit last night on Piers Morgan's show. I don't know if you saw this clip.
I did not.
Piers Morgan had Harry Sisson, the 23-year-old nonsense social media influencer for the left. You know, the little Democrat kid looks like
right. I know who he is.
Grade. And Piers Morgan had Dave Rubin on. He had a couple other people on, and Cornel West was way out there on the end on this panel. And he asked Harry Sisson how many genders there are after Donald Trump signed, the EEO, that there's only two genders in this country, for obvious reasons. And Harry Sisson starts going off on some diatribe, and they kept redirecting him over and over again. And they finally said, you got to at least be able to answer the question. And he says, well, there's at least two. And then for the next 2 minutes, everybody on the panel is like, Okay, so we have the male and the female. What's the other ones? If there's at least two, what are the other ones? And he wouldn't answer the question. He kept he tried to run away. He tried to do the Brave Sir Robin from Monty Python. He couldn't do it. Finally, they go to Cornel West, and Cornel says, "Well, let me help my brother Harry here." And he goes off on some loony thing where, sure, everybody is androgynous, and there's 100 different versions of what androgynous is. And so he goes down this rabbit trail, and even Harry Sisson says, "Well, I don't even agree with that."
Oh my gosh!
Tremendous! It's tremendous.
Yeah, they go down these rabbit holes, and then they're just unable to kind of get out of it,
right? Yes.
Which, you know, and I've always asked, I asked Riley Gaines this question because you think of it in. I've kind of positioned it this way, and you know, I just spent a weekend in Las Vegas with two very close friends of mine who are gay, and I bring that up because they're just as annoyed on this trans stuff as a lot of us who are cis. I guess you can use that word. And here's one of the reasons: like, if you have, let's say, Dwayne, you have a biological woman who has decided to become a man, right? So once they transition. And if they're a man now and they're attracted to another man, well, if that man does not return those feelings, that's transphobia. That's being bigoted because that person is now a man. So you have to treat them in the same way. And Riley, I asked Riley Gaines that question one time. How come they can never admit some of these things? And she said, look, if they do, the whole house of cards falls, right? They can't admit anything along those lines because they say a man is a man, a woman is a woman. They don't like to be inconsistent. But the whole fallacy of it is illustrated in moments like this.
Absolutely. And the true fallacy of this whole argument is this is an issue that 95% of the country agrees with. 95% of the country knows, of course, inherently, that there are two genders and that if people want to go off and do what they want to do, that's fine. As long as I don't have to be part of it, that's fine. But don't tell me what I have to believe and think now. So this, whatever you read online and whatever the left tries to tell you in some of their programming, it represents the absolute edge of where American society is as far as general beliefs.
I can't believe that more Democrats haven't, you know, seen the writing on the wall and crossed over on some of this because they're out there. Yeah, they're out there on an island, that's for sure. All right, so this one is not something that I'm a particular big fan of, but I do think it's nuanced. I want to get your thoughts on what happened with the J6ers. Here's Trump.
This is January 6th. These are the hostages. Approximately 1,500 for a pardon.
Yes.
Full pardon. They've been treated very unfair. The judges have been absolutely brutal. The prosecutors have been brutal. Nobody's ever treated people in this country like that. Well, I will say this. They've been in jail for a long time already. I see murderers in this country get 2 years, 1 year, and maybe no time. So they've already been in jail for a long time.
Now, Dwayne, the president's very good at exaggerating things. I don't know that there are murderers that are only in jail for 2 years. However, to his point, and I've followed this certainly with the help of Julie Kelly, who's been great at exposing some of this with the J6ers, I was horrified by what happened on that day. I really was. I thought it was outrageous. But I also know that many of these people have been prosecuted in ways that don't seem in any way, shape, or form fair to the crime, you know, the punishment fitting the crime. So thoughts on this, because I will say that these are the types of moves and the pardons that do make me a little uncomfortable with Trump.
Well, to be fair, he campaigned that he was going to do it, and he kept his word. He was going to do it. It's not a surprise that he did it. Joe Biden promised exactly the opposite. I'm not going to pardon Hunter. I'm not going to pardon anybody else, and he went ahead and did it anyway. So there's a little difference there.
I agree.
But I take your point. Here, I was not a fan of what happened on J6 at all. I think it was a horrible day for the country. I don't like what happened there. That said, are there people that got over-prosecuted to make scapegoats?
Absolutely.
You better believe there
yes.
were. And I would love to go back to a time that we could put this genie back in the bottle of weaponized lawfare, whether it's to the right or to the left. But what I know you cannot do is you can't put that genie back in the bottle if the left has employed it on the right, and the right doesn't get to use it on for their own purposes to at least feel like, okay, we've now experienced it too. Everybody's had their turn at it. Now we can at least try to go back to the way things were. you're never going to make that sale with conservatives if Democrats are the only ones that get to break the rule. If they set the rule for the last 4 years, wrong as though that rule may be, that's the rule for a while. Now that we've had our chance at it, maybe we can negotiate a way to kind of put that genie back.
Dwayne Patterson back with us. He writes at hotair.com and is the host of the Dwayne's World podcast. Let me get your thoughts on a couple other things here in the political world before we move on. On the issue of Doge, what is your, because I was out of town over the weekend, I was catching up on some of this stuff. Is Vivek getting shoved to the side, or is he running for governor of Ohio, or what's happening with him right now in Doge?
So you remember a few weeks ago when Vivek Ramaswamy went on Twitter and started doing the whole, the visa thing, right? And he got kind of way out over his skis. And that's kind of what Vivek does. And I'm thinking to myself, well, they're going to probably find some way to kind of usher him out. And that's when they kind of cleared the field for him to go run for governor of Ohio. You'll notice that Mike DeWine appointed John Husted as the replacement senator for J.D. Vance, and so now there's no lieutenant governor. He was going to run for governor of Ohio, by the way, and would have probably been a pretty strong contender for it. Now he's in the Senate. He's off the map, and from what I heard last week, Trump's team looked at Vivek and said, hey, why don't you go run for governor? You'll be swell there. And that kind of solves a couple of problems on their hands, is because he kind of freelances a little bit, and I think they would much rather have Elon and his team pretty much just do what they need to do. I don't think when they finally got down to Vivek, and we've talked to him 100 times on this show, Vivek's a nice enough guy, but he's still got some living to do. He's still got some life to do. He can sometimes get out in front of his skis.
Yeah, and I've seen that as well. Now, the thing with the H-1Bs, that's the visa program. These are visas that are granted to people sometimes in the technology field. Elon's kind of on the same boat when it comes to those. I know there's been a lot of pushback. Look, Steve Bannon last week said that Elon Musk was evil and that he'd keep him out of the White House. That didn't seem to work for Bannon, though.
No, it didn't. But here's what Elon Musk didn't do. Elon Musk didn't go out and try to set U.S. policy. What Vivek and Elon Musk were supposed to be doing is the Department of Government Efficiency, looking for programs to cut, looking for government waste, looking for those, those mythical $4 million Pentagon toilets to be able to get rid of, all the stuff that they were going to cut costs on. Well, okay, go ahead and do those costs. I don't need Vivek Ramaswamy setting immigration policy. That's going to be done at the White House. That's not going to be Vivek's purview.
Do you have a particular feeling one way or the other on the Diet Coke button? Because I'm a huge fan. I just want you to know that. And apparently it's back.
My guess is by the time the weekend's over with, there will be a little magical button that if he...
He says it's back. He says it's back already, which I love.
I just love the fact that he's doing his impromptu press conference from the Oval last night, signing a stack of EOs and orders. And as he's doing that, I think it was Peter Ducey of Fox, and Peter says, "So what about these drones over New Jersey? You said you're going to get to the bottom of that." And he pauses what he's doing. He looks over at Susie Wiles, his chief of staff, and he says, "Hey, can you go figure that out right now for me?"
Well, but, there's an interesting point. Nobody's talking about those drones. Like, that whole thing just completely went away. I'm now in the camp that thinks that everyone was kind of manufacturing this in their minds. I can't believe I'm even saying that. But the whole thing vanished.
It really has. And Trump made it sound like, I promise I'd get to the bottom of that. Let's figure that out right now. Go get on that, and we'll be able to make an announcement on that, because they were flying over Bedminster, and
that's
was
right.
Really weird to me.
The one thing I would say, though, about today and yesterday, and I think that this point was made, and I think even Ducey made this point with Biden yesterday. Here's what he said.
Does Biden ever do news conferences like this? How many news conferences, Peter, has he done like this?
Like this?
None.
Zero.
And it would be zero for the next... Infinity.
He talked to the media for, 90 minutes yesterday, about 50 minutes today. If you do the math on that, you can't tell me that Joe Biden's done that over the course of certainly 2 years, maybe even 4 years.
Look at what that day started and ended with. Look at what Donald Trump did yesterday alone. laying the wreath at the Tomb of the Unknowns the day before, all the way through the inauguration and speaking to the overflow crowd in the visitor center, and speaking longer to the visitors crowd than he did even in the actual address. And then he goes on all the inaugural balls and does the parade, signs, goes to the Capital One Arena, signs some EOs there, signs some EOs everywhere he goes. Then he goes back to the Oval, talks to the press. I mean, the guy doesn't sleep.
Listen,
Energizer buddy.
You got Nelly last night.
Regardless of what, you know, differences we may have, it's all about coming together at this point and making sure that we are the most positive person that we can bring to the situation. This is not anything that I feel like I'm influencing people to sway either way on how they feel, but it's more about the respect and the honor of being invited for what I like to call the greatest country on the planet.
So there you go. You got contributions from Missouri with Senator Hawley, Senator Schmidt, Will Scharf, and Nelly. There you go. There's your contribution.
It's tremendous. On my Dwayne's World podcast on Friday, I'm going to introduce a brand new recurring segment, which is the top 10 dumbest things said of the week. And one of the contenders, thanks to Nelly there, one of the contenders is Anna Navarro on The View, who today said any black performer that played for Trump or was part of the inaugural ceremony somewhere is a trained SEAL. Anna Navarro says that. That's going to be one of the 10 dumbest things said of the week.
She's an idiot, and she says a lot of dumb things, so that does not surprise me. Dwayne, thank you so much. Check out the Dwayne's World podcast. He writes at hotair.com. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
All right,
thanks, guys.
We'll see you. Sorry I misidentified your geography, too. I'm very ashamed of that. I told Fred. Fred's going to say, see, I told you.
Yeah, probably.
Because I don't know why I had in my mind that he was up there in the northern part of California. On the topic of the pardons, this is not going to be cut of the day, so I want to mention Jennings said this. So Anderson Cooper says, hey, Scott, what about the pardons?
What about the pardons? What's your take on that?
Here's what I think. Were these people punished? Yes. Were they ruined financially? Yes. Did they spend time in jail? Yes. Have their lives been ruined? Absolutely. And one of you said earlier, Van or Axe, that you think this sends a terrible signal that you can get away with things like this, as though we've never had a moment in recent American history when people were not punished for rampaging around when they shouldn't have been. It was the summer of 2020. Those people were never even charged.
Well, I would say the summer of 2014 and the fall of 2014 as well. And then, you know, you have Van Jones saying this.
Hey, that's not true at all.
It is true.
But I do see it differently in that I don't like it when people tear up buildings at all. I'm not a part of some pro-riot, pro-crime lobby. But I really don't like when people attack police officers. I really don't like it at all. I'm the son of a police officer. My uncle's a police officer. I don't like it at all.
Does he even know what he's saying? Because that's what happened to police officers. The police officers, black police officers, in St. Louis in particular, were treated horribly by these BLM idiots.
Yeah.
And I don't remember Van Jones going on CNN defending, you know, the cops at that point, or criticizing Cori Bush for wanting to defund the police and all that stuff. So that rang very hollow last night when he tried to make that case with Jennings. But that's kind of typical for that panel. Billboard Chris Elston, coming up from Davos. He's staying up late for us, or getting up early. One of those things coming up next.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Audio cut of the day coming up here in just a little bit. Tomorrow we have Mr. Kilmeade set up. Also, our friend Peter Zane, he writes about politics at Real Clear, does a great job, and wrote about ending Trump derangement syndrome, which is really still in full force as I'm seeing posts from friends across the country. We already have the roundtable set for Friday. Fred has lined up Jane, John Lamping, former state senator, and John Gaskin all on the panel on Friday. We have talked a lot here in St. Louis about the gender issue, the nonsense at WashU, Children's Hospital, the clinic is closed. One of the folks we always visit with is Chris Elston. He's known as Billboard Chris, and we're going to visit with him in just a second. But here's what President Trump said about a lot of this yesterday.
As of today, it will henceforth be the official policy of the United States government that there are only two genders, male and female.
We have tracked this particular issue for many years. One of the heroes in all of this is our friend Chris Elston, Billboard Chris, who is with us on the phone. I think from, are you in Davos? Is that what I understand?
Yeah, I'm in Davos for the World Economic Forum. I'm actually staying more than an hour away in Liechtenstein, so that's where I'm at right now, because everything was so expensive in Davos, and I'm just a poor activist. But I'm having fun out on the streets, talking with people in Davos. It's a great time.
Well, you might be a poor activist, but you've been a very successful activist. And Chris, when I hooked up with you a few years ago, one of the questions I first asked was, why are you doing this? And you told me that you were doing it to really try to prevent the biggest child abuse scandal in the history of the planet, right?
Yeah, certainly in the history of modern medicine. So there's all this physical abuse going on. Of course, kids are receiving puberty-blocking drugs, the opposite sex's hormones. They're getting surgeries. They're doing double mastectomies on girls as young as 12 years old in the United States of America. We know this from insurance data. So that's totally insane. Never mind just the psychological abuse of teaching children that they were born in the wrong body. That's totally crazy on its own. So this whole thing is just madness. I have two girls. They are almost 13 and 15 years old. I've been at this for more than 4 years now, this campaign. And I'm just not okay with this world, so I'm trying to do something to fix this issue.
Well, and you know, I think you deserve a lot of credit. There's a bunch of folks that have been in the news, many of whom I've had on the show. Riley Gaines certainly comes to mind. A lot of others, the Free Press. There's been a good, I think you would even admit, there's kind of been a team effort on a lot of these issues that's been successful, Chris.
Yes, so I know pretty much everyone involved in this fight, and a lot of the names are people you've never heard of. Starting about 3 years ago, I think there were 30 or 40 of us from across the U.S., and then myself, the lone Canadian who met at the Heritage Foundation, and a lot of those people have been extremely instrumental behind the scenes. But of course, people like Riley Gaines and Jamie Reed, who you've had on many times,
yeah,
the whistleblower from St. Louis, there's a big team of people who are working together, and we all come from different political ideologies as well. So it's kind of merging left and right here, but I think we're being more effective against this issue, this one issue pushed by the left. We've been more effective against this than any other cultural issue that the left has pushed for decades, and we're just going to keep winning.
Yeah, and you know, I want to ask you, what was it like yesterday for you, just hearing what the president, I mean, this was obviously something I think that helped him win the election. The ad was very effective when it came to, you know, linking Kamala Harris with signing legislation or approving, you know, surgeries for trans prisoners, which, you know, I've even described this as an 80-20 or 90-10. That issue is probably a 99-1 issue. So there, most of the country, even those Democrats that we feature here in St. Louis, Chris, are on board with this, but it had to be pretty cool for you yesterday seeing victory for Donald Trump in this issue.
Yeah, Kamala Harris is for they, them. Donald Trump is for you. Probably the best political ad of our lifetime. And so Donald Trump has just issued this brilliant executive order, basically nuking gender ideology, declaring that there are two sexes. Whoever wrote this, and I think I might know who it is, I need to reach out to them. But this executive order is just sheer brilliance. The one thing it does not address is child transition, and there are various legal reasons for that. So I'm not disheartened at all, but the Tennessee ban is currently before the Supreme Court. So a lot of these executive orders are going to get challenged already. What Trump has said previously is that he's willing to work with Congress to pass a bill. Now, the problem with that is in the Senate, you need 60 senators to overcome the filibuster, and the Democrats would certainly filibuster day and night to stop any ban on child transition. So there's still work to be done.
Yeah.
This is, for now, still a state-by-state issue, but I'm confident we're going to get it done. What we need to do heading into the midterms in the Democrat states that can do ballot initiatives, we need to do those so that when people go to vote, this is a question on the ballot. Do you want to stop child transition?
And so your mission in Davos right now is what specifically?
Well, my mission is always just to create awareness. I do that by having conversations, by starting conversations, and posting those conversations online. It helps educate people how to talk about this issue in a positive manner, not just complaining about things, but giving people the words that are effective in having these conversations. And honestly, what's going on in the World Economic Forum right now is a bit of a subversion tactic by me, because almost everyone out on those streets there agree with me. These are all adults. These are mostly people over 40 years of age. And they have kids themselves. A lot of them are just business people. They almost all agree with me. I have had a few people push back. I'm going to get a video up very shortly. So if people want to go to @BillboardChris, you'll see an entertaining video from today. But I'm starting thousands of conversations there. And the World Economic Forum is one of the institutions pushing this madness on the world. But their own attendees don't agree with it. So by starting these conversations and getting people to talk about it at this conference, I think it creates a world of good. I'm not going to know all that good that happens from this, but I just have faith that these ripples I create lead to some positive benefits.
Well, and we've played a lot of those conversations, featured the audio over the years. Have you, here's a question I was going to ask you. You kind of walked me into this, but have you noticed over this campaign of 3 to 4 years, in the last year in particular, have you noticed a difference in those conversations with younger people or not?
Yeah, to be honest, I noticed a difference month to month. When I first started this campaign over 4 years ago, nobody knew what puberty blockers were. And there have been moments where there have been huge increases in awareness. I think back to August of 2022, I think it was, when I tweeted out these videos from Boston Children's Hospital. And I think for the first time, a lot of people finally understood what was going on in these gender clinics, how insane it was. And that started a wave of conservatives looking into other gender clinics. But awareness is increasing all the time. Most people aren't talking about this issue over the dinner table. So it just takes time. It takes years to really educate the population. And we can see it in the polls, month to month, year to year. More and more people are coming over to our side, and we're just going to keep that trend going.
Chris Elston is with us. He's known as Billboard Chris Online. Did you notice, I know you're in Switzerland, did you notice what happened? Did you pay attention to the woke preacher with Trump and J.D. Vance this morning?
Yeah, I just got back to my hotel room half an hour ago, and I saw a few people had DM'd it to me, so I literally just posted it before you called me. I don't know what the heck they're doing listening to this woke Episcopalian bishop, but if she doesn't know what a boy or a girl is, she's in the wrong profession, because it's written in the very first book of the Bible, Genesis 1:27, male and female, he created them.
You know, we're going to just close on that note. I don't know how you can do it any better than that. Chris, thank you so much. Congratulations on what you must feel is a great, at least, movement toward some victory on this issue. I'm proud of you. I love you. You know I'm a big fan, so thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a good night.
That's Chris Elston. Let me play some of that audio, because I played this earlier. So this is what happened at the prayer meeting this morning, and it was quite interesting because we now know that the female bishop in this Episcopalian church has been someone who's been out there as an activist previously, but J.D. Vance and his wife and President Trump and Melania were all in this room this morning, and this woman starts saying this.
I ask you to have mercy upon the people in our country. We're scared now. There are gay, lesbian, and transgender children in Democratic, Republican, and independent families. Some who fear for their lives.
So she was, and this is interesting if you've seen the video, and there's a lot of side-by-sides on X, formerly Twitter, of this. Trump really didn't react very much. I was a little surprised. J.D. Vance did, though, especially when she said stuff like this.
And the people. The people who pick our crops and clean our office buildings, who labor in poultry farms and meat packing plants, who wash the dishes after we eat in restaurants and work the night shifts in hospitals, they may not be citizens or have the proper documentation, but the vast majority of immigrants are not criminals.
Well, I don't know that anybody said that they were. She has, just like
point.
Most people on the left, have this very, very difficult time distinguishing between what is legal and what is not legal immigration. I can't understand it. because they never can quite get that. So what we know now about this woman is that she's been out there on the front lines of George Floyd and all these other things protesting. How she was able to do this service this morning, someone's going to probably have to answer that question.
First of all, the context which you're reporting described, that after speaking so harshly and with militaristic overtones to the nation, he had the park of peaceful protesters cleared.
Oh, yeah, that's the soundbite where she was out there, you know, publicly doing interviews during the first administration when Trump came walking down and, you know, had the allegedly had the park cleared off. But there were safety reasons for that. And then she's out there with the George Floyd riots as well.
Why did you want to come out here and send
their message? It is a message of a call for justice, for swift justice for George Floyd, for systemic justice for all brown and black people who have been under the knee of this country in ways that we have witnessed time and again.
So she's one of the white guilty people out there that hates the country. You want to talk about justice? How about justice for Derek Chauvin, who was railroaded in the whole George Floyd situation? We'll see if we get a pardon for him. I'm not so sure it'll be out of the question. All right, we have audio cut of the day coming up here. I want to mention that Brian Kilmeade will be with us tomorrow at 3:25. We'll catch up with Kilmeade. He's coming to St. Louis, of course, in March on the 22nd. Tickets went on sale last week for an event at the factory, so we'll touch base on that. I think we broke that story last week when Brian was on. Peter Zane in the 5 o'clock hour. He writes for Real Clear. We will talk to Peter tomorrow afternoon about Trump derangement syndrome and whether or not that's going to work its way out of the environment. I don't think that it will, but let's do an audio cut of the day.
Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Okay, something a little different here this afternoon because we started the show thinking there was going to be an event at 3 o'clock with an announcement about AI investment from the Trump administration. And there was, but it happened about an hour after 3. And then, Sue, as you remember, we were in the 4 o'clock hour. We only took the beginning of that. Well, after the announcement, Trump took questions. And here were some of those questions. And I think we start with Peter Alexander. One of the questions that a lot of the legacy media has right now is, oh, you pardoned all the J6ers. You know, there were people in that group, and justifiably so. I think there are some legitimate questions here. Some of those people, you know, assaulted police officers.
That's some of the executive orders. You would agree that it's never acceptable to assault a police officer.
Sure.
Right? So then, if I can, among those you pardoned, DJ Rodriguez, he drove a stun gun into the neck of a DC police officer who was abducted by the mob that day. He later confessed on video to the FBI and pleaded guilty for his crimes. Why does he deserve a pardon?
Well, I don't know. Is it a pardon? Because we're looking at commutes and we're looking at pardons. Okay, well, we'll take a look at everything. But I can say this. Murderers today are not even charged. You have murderers that aren't charged all over. You take a look at what's gone on in Philadelphia, take a look at what's gone off in L.A., where people murder people and they don't get charged.
Well, that's happened in St. Louis. I mean, let's face it. And it may be, the murders might be a slight exaggeration, but look, with Kim Gardner, there were 6,700 people that didn't get prosecuted. Felonies that didn't get prosecuted.
These people have already served years in prison, and they've served them viciously. It's a disgusting prison. It's been horrible. It's inhumane. It's been a terrible, terrible thing. I also say this. You go to Portland, where they wrapped police officers, shot police officers. Nothing happened to anybody. You go to Seattle, where they took over a big chunk of the city and people died. Portland, a lot of people died. Wait a minute. And you go also take a look at Minneapolis, because I was there and I watched it. And if I didn't bring in the National Guard, that city wouldn't even exist today. People were killed and nobody went to jail. So these people have already served a long period of time. And I made a decision to give a pardon. Joe Biden gave a pardon yesterday to a lot of criminals. These are criminals that he gave a pardon to. And you should be asking that question. Why did he give a pardon to all of these people that committed crimes? Why did he give a pardon to the J6 Unselect Committee when they burned and destroyed all documents which showed that they did what was wrong, not me? Wait a minute. Why did they give a pardon to all of his relatives, his brother who made millions of dollars, to all these different people? He gave pardons. That's the question you should be answering. All right, go ahead. Yeah, please.
Tell us about your meeting with Speaker Johnson, Senator Thune. Did you reach any conclusion on this one big story?
Pretty much. I think we got the nuts and bolts of that question, though. And, you know, the answer, I expressed discomfort at the beginning of the show because I don't think all the J6ers are innocent. I do know, and I've credited Julie Kelly, who's been really good out there, and she's been a guest many times on the show, highlighting some of the things that have happened out there with some of these people who have been over-prosecuted. I don't think there's any doubt. Now, the person that Peter Alexander brought up there to Trump, he says he's going to take a look at it. Sounds like some of these are not pardons. Some of them are a little different if it's a commutation. I don't know all the particulars, but here's what I do know, to President Trump's point. Why is nobody... I haven't heard one legacy member of the media, any questions on Twitter, asking about Dr. Fauci or some of the other preemptive strikes that Biden's doing. I know he left town. We got a new sheriff in town, but there's no questions ever about that. We got Kill Me tomorrow afternoon. Have a great Tuesday evening. We'll talk to you at 3 o'clock tomorrow.
Get more at 971talk.com.